Hello and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, on the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Monday, November 8th. Coming up on today's show, a conversation with amateur photographer Sean Chapman about his hobby and how he captured a set of remarkable images of the Northern Lights dancing above the Tantramar Marsh last week. And we'll take a look at what's on the agenda for tonight's Sackville Town Council meeting. Schools remain online this week as the lockout of striking QP school support workers by the province continues. Hospitals, on the other hand, are slowly returning to normal after the province issued an emergency order on Friday, forcing striking healthcare workers back to work. Horizon issued a statement saying the network will begin to resume patient and client surgeries, procedures, and appointments. However, it will take time to work through wait lists. Hours before the Premier and Attorney General Ted Fleming announced the mandatory order forcing healthcare workers back to work, labor leaders visited the QP picket lines in downtown Sackville to lend their support to the cause. George Lehman of the Bakery, Confectionery, Tobacco Workers and Grain Millers Union led the crowd in chants as they marched a loop along Main Street. Linda Silas, president of the Canadian Federation of Nurses Union, told Work Times that she was showing support for QP workers and their right to collective bargaining. New Brunswick nurses have rejected two tentative agreements that have come out of negotiations between the NBNU and the province. Danny Legere, president of the New Brunswick Federation of Labour and former president of QP, said that wages in the public sector in New Brunswick haven't kept up with inflation. He told Work Times that workers have been falling further and further behind. There were 30 new cases of COVID-19 in Zone 1 on Sunday, bringing the active case count in this zone to 188. 23 of the new cases in Zone 1 are under investigation, and 7 cases are contacts of previously confirmed cases. Province-wide, there are 473 active cases of COVID-19. 15 people are in hospital, with 9 of those in an ICU. The Mount Allison Mounties football team finished their AUS regular season with an 18-2 win over the Bishop's Gators at Alumni Field on Saturday. The Mounties finished the regular season in second place in the AUS. The team will again host the Bishop's Gators this coming Saturday in an AUS semifinal game at Alumni Field. Sackville Town Council will meet tonight at 7 p.m. for its regular monthly meeting. Council will consider a number of motions, including the approval of the town's 2022 budget. Changes proposed by Councillor Sabine Dietz to make the budget more climate-friendly have not been incorporated. Dietz joined the Councillors' Roundtable on CHMA on Thursday and said she would be speaking to the budget this Monday and said there would be more ways to accomplish climate goals than her original proposal.
Why I made those changes, not because of climate change, but because of the attempt to start incorporating considerations into our operations and thinking about what we do as a town, right? So that was my underlying reason. And what I did with the document that I also posted and that is publicly available and that I sent to staff and to the other councillors, I basically just outlined some I call it fiddling, I guess the treasurer would call it adjustments. I outlined some fiddling that could be done with a budget, moving of some items that could permit for certain of the actions that I was proposing. I guess I don't see those changes in the budget, which I understand, and I think I will talk to that on Monday.
Okay.
So, and I'd like to leave it at that because, so I've had some conversations with other councillors as well as with staff about it. So, and I'd like to talk to that on Monday in public during the council meeting.
Council is also considering some spending motions at their meeting tonight. They will be asked to approve the replacement of damaged equipment for the fire department, to give the Rural Health Action Group an additional $5,000 to kickstart their work on recruiting healthcare workers, and to approve a $12,500 study for a new concrete skate park for Sackville. There's also a new flyer distribution bylaw up for consideration, which would make it a bylaw infraction to deliver flyers to a home with a no flyers sign. I asked Councillor Michael Tower on Thursday if he thought the new bylaw would work.
I think it will, especially if we enforce it. I like the way we're doing it is opt out and not have to opt in, because there are people out there that like the flyers. I like the flyers, but I don't like them laying in driveways and ditches, side of the road. So I think this is going to correct the issue. And it won't lay in my driveway anymore. It's supposed to be on my doorstep from that point onward. But there's a good number of people who still like getting the flyers. And
Council will also be asked to approve the closing of two streets temporarily in support of Moonlight Madness events on November 19th and December 3rd. And finally, Council will look at housekeeping changes to their own remuneration bylaw and hear final readings of an annual bylaw renewal to set the rate for the Business Improvement Area levy, which raises about $25,000 for Main Street redevelopment, the downtown Sackville BIA. Hobby photographer Sean Chapman spends a lot of time with his camera pointed up at the night sky in hopes of capturing the aurora borealis, or the northern lights. Recently, Chapman took some remarkable photos of the aurora over the Tantramar Marsh. The images show bands of vibrant green, red, pink, and violet glowing along the horizon and up into the night sky. The images are so stunning that I couldn't resist calling up Sean Chapman to hear more about what went into capturing them.
Well, I've been chasing the northern lights for 5 or 6 years, trying to get decent photos. And there's a number of sites on the internet that you can follow, which predict when and if you'll be able to see them. So I always check the pages pretty much nightly. And November 3rd, I checked it. Of course, we were in the middle of a solar storm anyway. And they were supposed to be good on the 3rd. So I went on the evening of the 3rd, spent 3 hours or so taking pictures, and I got some nice ones. I came home, I processed them, I loaded some on the Facebook groups, went to bed about 2 o'clock in the morning. I got up at 4:30 in the morning to take my son to work, came home. As soon as I walked in the door at 5 o'clock, I checked my go-to site, and it was going to be better than it was in the evening of the 3rd. So tell my wife I'm going, grab my gear, out the door I go. And I had no idea exactly what I was going to get, but I knew when I got to my point where I photographed from, I couldn't see the colors, but I could see the light bands and stuff moving through the dark sky. It was just quite a bit lighter than the surrounding areas. So I set up my camera and I started to take pictures. And then I actually realized every time the picture would click on the camera, and you have to wait a while because it's time lapsed. It's 15 to 30 seconds long for each picture. As soon as it clicks up on the display, then I can look at it and I can see what I have. It's the best I have ever experienced in 5 to 7 years.
So those, I mean, and the colors are remarkable. I mean, the photos themselves are quite amazing. So those colors, you weren't seeing those colors with your naked eye, were you?
No.
Okay.
If anything, it might have been just a very light green is what I would have been actually seeing with my eyes.
And
the camera picks up colors that we never see with our eyes anyway, because the sensors are so fine.
Right. So, and this is sort of, you've been doing this nighttime photography for quite a while. You have all the gear, and I guess it's just a long exposure that you need to use to be able to pick that stuff up?
Yes, you need a short focal length lens. The shorter, the better, because then you can actually extend the amount of exposure time you have. If you, like, I posted up some other pictures on the same pages from the evening shoot the night before. And if you look at them, the stars and stuff are not pinpoint stars. They're sort of all misshapen and stuff like that. That's because the Earth is continuing to turn, and the longer your exposure, the more your camera and the moves against the direction the stars are going, so you end up with star trails. And in the morning, where I got all the purples and stuff, I actually went with a shorter exposure time and a remote shutter release, so I wasn't actually vibrating the camera on the tripod when I was pushing the button. And that made a big difference in how sharp and crisp the stars are in the pictures.
Now, you said on one of the photo captions that you're over the marsh. Where exactly are you taking these photos?
I'm taking these about 5 to 7 minutes outside of Amherst, over a section of the Tanimer Marsh. There's a few other spots I'd like to try, but they're just too far from my house, and my apps or sites that I'm using to check activity levels of the northern lights, they only give you about a 15, maybe 20 minute notification of when they might peak and stuff like that. So I have to be either at my destination and sit and wait. I've done that a few times, sat for 3 or 4 hours and got 10 to 15 minutes of actual northern light activity that I could photograph. But that's a royal pain. So I've got this place. It's very close to my house. Like I say, 5 to 7 minutes. And the camera I'm using for northern lights, the settings and stuff are all set on it. Basically, all I have to do is pull up, set the tripod up, mount the camera, and I'm ready to shoot.
Now, with these photos, do you think, I mean, is that as good as it's going to get? Will you retire from this now, or are you going to keep going?
No, I'll never retire from it. It doesn't matter how many times I photograph them, but I don't know if I'll ever get colors and activity in Nova Scotia like that again. I've been looking at a few of the meteorologist reports and stuff, and some of them are saying it was the best solar storm in 100 years, so I won't live that long to see it again.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever traveled farther up north to see what you can see up there?
No, I'd like to, but with work and family and stuff like that, I just can't, you know, invest that kind of time or money to go and do it. I spend enough as it is. I mean, I got my car was in for a service today, and it won't be two years old till the end of this month, and there's 78,000 kilometers on it now from traveling for photographic purposes.
Okay, well, these are spectacular photos, and thank you for sharing them. Really appreciate it, and best of luck. I hope you do see another one like this, or I hope
well,
you make it up
thank
north
you.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, I probably would never make it up north, but hopefully I do get some at least equivalent to what I got the other night, but I'm not going to look forward to getting that good again, not around here.
All right, many thanks, Sean.
Thank you.
That was amateur photographer Sean Chapman. By day, Chapman works at the Van Vulpen Farms in Nepan. You can check out Chapman's stunning photographs on his Facebook page. Check chmafm.com for links. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Monday, November 8th.
As always, we hope you will get in touch with your comments or questions at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.